Coming from Asheville, was it the week before last? I think it was. Yeah, it was. I'm coming down 25, and the truck behind me, and so I was in the right lane. We were both in the right lane, and we were coming down the mountain, and I heard his J-brake go off. Man, you see how fast I got? I got onto that shoulder a little bit, because like, I heard him, he was like literally directly behind me, and so he kind of passed around me. I was like, yeah, he's going a little fast, let me get out of his way.
In the rain, shortly after getting my license, and was not prepared for traffic to be stopped on the other side of the hill. I was empty at the time, thankfully, but I was going about 60. Speed limit's 55. I knew better. So I was going about 60 and went up the hill, right traffic, came down the hill, it was raining, and because it was raining, somebody had a wreck. I topped the hill, and right on the other side of the hill was all the rooftop of the other cars. I came over the hill, and they were barely in front of me, and I had to go from 60 to zero, a dead stop in a very short distance. And I engaged the ABS on that truck, the first and only time I've ever done that. Very memorable. And it stopped in time, but boy, oh boy, I was scared. I did not know if that truck was going to make it.
I was in my pickup truck, of course. That's my regular work truck. I was in, and I saw him behind me. You know, the only thing I think in my mind was, I need to move out of the way or he's blazing a new trail.
Yep. Thankfully, everything worked out good in both situations, that's for sure. But, I tell you what, I enjoy driving those trucks, but there's those moments where you wish that you could undo ever hopping in that thing for the day, because the situation you end up in is so stressful. You're like, yeah, it was not worth it to come to work today. That really bothered me. I had one of those the other day on highway 186 and the Dacusville Highway in Pickens County. I was following one of my coworkers back to the shop. We were running once again 60 and the 55 over, which isn't necessarily smart, but he was in a regular pickup truck and I was in the 18 wheeler. And somebody who lives on that road or stopped at a house on that road, they decided it'd be a great idea after he passed by to back out in the road, completely across the road. They were on the left side of the road. They backed into my lane. They were across those lanes of that. It's a two-lane country highway, speed limit 55. He backed straight out between me and my coworker, and I'm driving the 18-wheeler, and I was empty, so I weighed 32,000 pounds, and it was all I could do not to hit that little truck. Man, I was terrified.
I've seen a lot of close calls, and I know exactly where you're talking about on 186 right there off of 135 and all that area. But yeah, it's crazy how they're just like, you know what, I'm just gonna back out in the road. I think what it is some folks out there have the concept that, hey, because you're heavy, you're slow. But, you know, they don't think, hey, you carried a lot of weight back there that's pushing you.
The thing is, that truck never weighs anything under 32,000 pounds. That's the latest it weighs. And fully loaded, it's 80,000 pounds. That's the legal limit. That's not how much it is capable of hauling, but that's the most it's allowed to weigh and go on the interstate without overweight permits. So that truck normally weighs either 80,000 pounds or 32,000 pounds, and it's 50-50. And it just takes a long time to stop that much weight. That truck at 32,000 pounds will get going almost as fast as a car once it's above 15 miles an hour. It takes forever to reach 15, but after that, it'll accelerate like crazy. Full, though, is a different story, especially uphill. It takes a long time to get that thing going.
My dad and my uncles and all, they drove trucks. They were truck drivers. And I remember my uncle telling me a story. He was coming down from Hendersonville, and No, he wasn't. He was coming out of Tennessee, and they had them runaway ramps, I guess what it is, on the side of the highways, and I guess somebody had cut him off, and he went straight up that ramp because he wouldn't be able to stop otherwise. He would hit like five cars.
Things are only spaced out once every 2 miles or so. That would have been on Interstate 26. If it was Tennessee, North Carolina line, it's up there. I think they have two, maybe three ramps on that stretch. And then I don't think they have any maybe they have one on the westbound side, but eastbound they have a few of them, but the highway is much more wide open.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, it was 26 because he's coming out because we're all from Johnson City, Tennessee, and so yeah, he's coming out of Johnson City, headed down to I think he was headed toward Mars Hill somewhere in between them two places when that happened. That happened it was like 20 something years ago, but he's all retired now. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how they stop and stuff.
I wish people at least got the opportunity to ride in what's in them once before getting their driver's license, because it would help give them an understanding of what in the world these drivers go through. And please don't cut them off, because, okay, so if you live, you might get lawsuit money. Maybe, maybe not, depending on whose fault it ends up being. But the if you live part is the biggest problem, because if you don't live, what are you going to do then? When you're playing with something that weighs that much, it's horrible. I rode out for a few of my friends yesterday. I sent them a picture of my truck. And I had this truck hooked up to the jump trailer. And I was legal limit 80,000 pounds. But because I was hauling sand, all the sand was below the top of the trailer. So it didn't look like it was a full vehicle, but I was at the legal weight limit 80,000. 80,000 pounds is equivalent to 31 compact cars, like Honda Fit, Honda Civic. Or 27 regular cars, like Honda Accord, Toyota Camry, stuff like that. Or 18 full-size SUVs, like Ford Expedition. Or 13 heavy-duty diesel pickup trucks, like Ford F-250 Chevrolet 2500 series. Diesel four-wheel drive pickup trucks. That's how much that truck weighs.
I don't think how much that is. And I think that's an awesome way to describe it. It's like, hey, you know, could you imagine getting hit by six SUVs at the same time? Well, that's what it's like getting hit by this truck. And now, do you own your truck or your truck company vehicle?
The truck that I own, I plan to own one almost exactly like it someday. But I would like to go over the road for a little while, so I want a sleeper truck. I mostly drive a Peterbilt 389. That's what I drive most of the time.
How are you, Eddie? That's pretty cool. Yeah, I know where I used to live, my neighbor, he used to have a sleeper truck and everything, and he used to have his dog. His dog's name was Rambo, and he used to come by every once in a while. He was OTR, and he made some pretty good money doing it.
You have to catch your own truck. You can drive a really basic truck that is used, that has high on miles but won't need immediate repairs tomorrow. You can buy one of those for $30,000, or you can buy a good truck for about $50,000 to $60,000, or you can buy a nice truck for $100,000 and up. That's how much those things cost, and that's just the upfront cost. The taxes on those is crazy. The insurance is astronomical. It just, the expenses are a nightmare. Back when the gas prices were low, my paycheck was the exact same amount as the truck consumed for fuel. And I was making 50 cents a mile. So back when gas prices were cheap, the truck, and that was when I started driving. The truck was consuming, 50 cents a mile. That's how much it costed just to drive the truck down the road. That's the fuel that it used. And now fuel prices are up. It's probably going to be closer to 75 cents to a dollar a mile really soon. But those trucks are not cheap to keep. You can make really good money with them, but your expenses are up there too. So if you can stand the headache, it can be worth it, but it can also make you lose sleep too, just thinking about it.
He worked for the longest, and he saved up money, because I think he was going to leave. No, no, I think he had a 389 and 379. No, I think it's 389, because the 79 is a little bit more square body. But he bought it. He finally saved up the money. He went and got, I think it was a loan, but he paid that off. I think he paid about 140 grand for it, or something like that. But he saved up, and yeah. Oh, no, he leased it. That's what he did. It was leased for 140, and he paid it off about a year ago.
A plan that I've had in the back of my mind sometime if I ever want to go get my hazmat, about the most efficient way that you could possibly drive a truck and save up money for one, to buy one without having to worry about interest rates or whatever. Lease is one good idea. You normally end up driving for the company that leased you out, though. But if you want to make money fast, about the fastest way to make it is drive gasoline tankers. And Sphinx Transport is probably the better paying one as far as those go around here. It's local, home daily, but you normally make roughly $100,000 a year on average driving for them. About $2,000 a week is your pay before taxes. And it's hard to drive for a company and bring home that much money.
Was definitely working like a dog for sure, because I know every time I'd see him, you know, he looked like he'd be death worn over, but because he'd be traveling a lot. But yeah, he says, I'm pretty sure he said he paid it off. He's either paid it off or paying it off. But yeah, he got a lease and got a company or something like that, and they helped him out with the truck. And I want to text him and see if he's got it. Now I'm interested. Now I want to go on a backbinding tour. But yeah, he said it was a good idea. And he says if you ever go over the road, get your own truck.
Yeah, I'll back him on that. Over the road, working for yourself after expenses. If you bust your tail nonstop and don't let up for a second, and you don't have any major breakdowns or run into DOT or anything else that eats up all kinds of high dollar expenses, no crashes, no nothing, you can make about $200,000 a year driving for yourself. That's after all your expenses. Your before taxes, though, your gross before you pay any of your expenses, fuel, insurance, that's your biggest ones right there. And your taxes and stuff. You know, you're making many, many, many hundred thousand dollars a year, but you only get to keep about a third of it. Only about a third. And you only get to keep about $200,000 if you're pushing like 3,000 plus miles a week. Really, really, really trying to drive your 11 hours a day. The best mileage I've turned in a week is 3,500 miles. And it's very difficult to do that. You have to run nonstop.
I'm quite sure how much he ran, but matter of fact, hold on, I just got a text message from him. Oh, okay. He's got a 2017 Peterbilt 389, and he said he paid about 104. Okay, I don't know where I got 140 from, but yeah, that's what he's got, and he said yeah, he's paid it off.
That truck costs about $100,000 and up for the nice one. That's it. That's exactly what I meant. I meant that right there. That's about how much those cost for a decent one starting off.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how many miles he drives, but I can imagine that gets pretty rough out there.
Rough from time to time. The worst thing for me is when your home office calls you up all the time and nags you over stuff. Hey, where you at? Blah, 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 blah. Well, I had a change of plans. I need you to be at this customer at such and such a time. Well, I can't do that. Well, I need you to find a way to make it happen. Oh, Okay. And then they just constantly pester you after that. Where you at? What's up? Oh, you need to find a way to step up the pace. I can only do so much. Like, that's the worst thing right there, is dealing with the office people. If I could eliminate that entirely, driving over the road would be much more peaceful. But the office just made my skin crawl and pull my hair out and all that. So driving for yourself is where it's at, but you have to book your own loads, you have to do all your own billing, you have to be your own office manager, unless you can employ somebody or, get married to somebody or whatever that's willing to do the work for you, the paperwork for you. It can be stressful then too, because you have to take care of all that stuff besides drive a truck.
When you talked about the nagging part, that reminded me of an Army buddy of mine. He drives a truck, but I can't remember what company he drove for. I can't remember. But I remember one time answering the phone for him, and it was his job, and he was off in another room, and I was like, "Hey, it's blah blah blah," and he goes, "Lord have mercy." And so I'm assuming it can be nagging, but I know. Some of these companies, one of the guys who worked for us, he used to be a truck driver, and he goes, they have trucks out there that could, it could detect if you haven't been sleeping or, you've been driving too much, and so it'll shut the truck off or it won't allow the truck to start or something like that for, I think it's like 8 hours or something or whatever, or however the company does it. But it has all kinds of stuff that'll track you, where you've been, how long you've been there, where you're going, why are you going there, and all that.
Trucks these days are capable of that. All the over-the-road trucks, the long-distance ones, the FMCSA, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or whatever they are, have it set up so that if your truck is year 2000 or newer, for the year of the engine, if the year of the engine is 2000 or newer in your truck, and you operate more than 50% of the time farther than 150 air miles from your home base, then you are required to have an e-log on the truck. It logs a lot of stuff. It runs your clocks for you, your 70-hour clock, your 34-hour reset clock, your 14 hours of on-duty, your 11 hours of drive time, your 10 hours of off-duty, your sleep or berth split, however you want to do that stuff. It logs all that stuff, and some companies can have it set up so that if you are not allowed to be on the road, the truck won't operate.
Yeah, he was telling me about it. He goes, like, his manifestor's log is all digital now. Everything's automatically recorded. I mean, of course, he has to keep track of that as well. But I know when I worked for... I did transportation. I used to transport truck drivers for... YRC and Holland and all that stuff, and I had to take, they'd come in, had to take them to the hotel because, we had to have a mandatory 8-hour rest period and everything. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I can understand that too. I know my uncle used to always say, he goes, yeah, I got to get my rest and I got to get up in the morning because if the wheels ain't turning, then I ain't earning.
That right. And you can kind of sort of squeeze some extra time out by running splits on your 10-hour break using the sleeper berth. Because you can set you're in the sleeper berth for, even though you have to have 10 hours of off duty, you can say you were in the sleeper berth for 8 hours or whatever and go back to driving at hour number 8, so you've only been shut down for 8 hours, but instead of having to sit there for 2 more hours, you can go ahead to your delivery, and that'll save your behind every now and then. But in a little while, you're going to have to take your remaining 2 hours, or your drive time in 14 hours of on-duty is about to run out, too, and you'll be screwed. So right after you make your delivery, you're going to have to go back off-duty for about 2 hours, and then you'll be fully reset after that, and then you'll be able to do your entire new day. So it'll save your tail, but it'll also upend your clock if you had it set to a certain rhythm. It's a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Understandable. Yeah, one of the guys at work, his aunt and uncle, they both work, they both OTR drivers, and I don't know how that works, but like they'll go and like they'll swap out each every so often because she drives and he drives.
You do it. The advantage of that is if you play your cards just right, you can have it so that between your brakes and your fueling and stuff like that, the truck almost never stops having two drivers. There's rarely a need for it to come to a stop, so you can run almost nonstop. The downside is that if you're married or whatever, and that's your spouse, you really won't be able to still live in the exact same place as your spouse, and won't hardly be able to pay attention to them in any way, because you have to be sleeping while they're driving so that you are rested enough to drive while they're sleeping. And it's difficult a little bit to sleep in a moving truck. You don't get to get a deep sleep because you always have that one ear open and that one eye open, kind of trying to pay attention for anything that's going wrong in case suddenly you're in a life-threatening situation. So you don't tend to sleep that super good. So you have to be in there asleep or trying to sleep your entire break. And it can be kind of wearing.
And that, and Ron, that's the guy I was telling you about. He said you have a nice truck, and be safe out there on the road. Yeah, he texted me back. He's going to bed, I guess. But he wanted me to say that. But yeah, that's pretty cool, Daniel. And it is almost 11:20, so I guess I'm going to get up here and get ready to go catch me some Z's. I want to get up early in the morning and get me some breakfast going.
That's good. I need to go to bed, too. Get up in the morning. I have a project going on. I need to, I got some chores I need to do around the house, and I have a vehicle that I need to work on. I'll probably work on this thing more next weekend than this weekend, but I am about to take the entire suspension and drivetrain out of this vehicle and redo the whole thing from front to back to front, however you want to say it. Working on putting on a lift kit and fixing all kinds of bad bushings that have failed, trying to get this thing ready for winter time.
Sounds like you're going to have a party. Yeah, nice. A friend of mine, he wants to go down to Fall for Greenville tomorrow, so I told him, yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll go along with you, and we'll do some walking around. I usually don't go down there that often anymore because it gets so crowded nowadays, but he's never been to it, so I'm just going to go with him tomorrow.
That'd be fun. Almost every fall for Greenville, it pours down rain the whole time, so y'all lucked out because it pours down rain all week, so y'all will actually get a break. It usually floods the whole fall for Greenville, so y'all got a nice one. Good job for you. Enjoy it. I'm signing off from here for now, too. So great talking to you. Your name here is Daniel. I don't remember yours, but thanks for hopping back in here and talking for a little while. I think your name is Chris, but I'm probably wrong. Anyways, this is KJ4WZM. Name is Daniel.
Yeah, it's Chris. I'm usually the one that's solo when you're calling the net. And, but I don't know if I was solo tonight. Maybe somebody in my category was in there besides me. Of course, I came in late. But, yeah, Daniel, good talking to you, and have fun doing that. And I'm going to go ahead and say 73 and jump off here, and I guess get me some sleep.
Good talk to you later on down the log. KF4R something R, I don't know. What's the other letter in your call?
KF4RUR.
UR. Gotcha. KR4RUR, KJ4WEN. Great talking to you, Chris. 73. Yeah, I'm clear.